Well, good morning and welcome.
Fred, would you dim this first bank of lights? I'm not used to doing this, so if I mess it up, we'll just go on with it. And may I say, if you're visiting, welcome. You're an honored guest. We'd like for you to stay for the potluck, if you would. We'd like to get to know you. That's kind of what life is all about, isn't it? Last Sunday morning, we talked about, Lord, I'm too weak. I just can't do it. And I suppose this lesson is a continuance in a way. There are always, in any given group of people, those who have probably too high an opinion of themselves. Amen. Most of you know who that is. Don't raise your hands if you feel like you're that person. But probably more than that type of a person, there are those in most every audience who have too low an opinion of themselves. Somehow life has beat up on them, things have happened. I'm not sure. But a lot of times you see folks who could operate here and somehow operate much less than that. And so this is a lesson of encouragement. The title of it is that God shares in our work. And if you've got a bulletin on the inside page there, you've got all of the scripture that I'm going to use this morning. I have to learn to use this. The one on the right, thank you. God works with us, folks. A number of years ago, Bette Midler had a song. I kind of liked it, but I didn't agree with it. From a distance. You remember that one? God is watching us from a distance. I don't like that. He's not that far away, church. I think God is with us. And I think we need to know that. And I think we need to live our lives as though God indeed is with us. Cass said, I have on the bulletin, incidentally, there, NASB, that's the New American Standard, in case you didn't know that. Some passages then that God is indeed with us. This one says in Mark 16:20, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs which followed. Let's start there. The word is the seed. You remember that story? It is the seed which needs to be scattered and planted. And as Jesus came and ushered in a new era, a new covenant, a church that is a new thing, we're added to the church. And so God begins to help this fledgling organization that was purchased by the blood of His Son. It's us. It's the saints. And He begins, it says here, He worked with them. And He did that in miraculous ways often. Okay? Not that way today. But He confirmed the Word, which became the perfect law of liberty, which we have, by which we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have it all, folks, and it's in God, and it's a living, active, dynamic word that was confirmed. And so He worked with them. The passages are meant to show God's activity with us, His care, His design in helping us. James 1 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. We know that. Everything we have, everything we are, comes from God. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow, the consistency, the constancy there. And then it says, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. Isn't that powerful? It was His good pleasure, is something He says, from the very beginning to bring us forth in Christ Jesus, as we remembered. It is in the Word of truth. It is by the gospel that we are born and birthed. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures there. Here's a great one. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? Did you catch that? What is the exceeding greatness, it says, of His power to us who believe? Now He gives us a wee bit of, this is almost parenthetical, a description of what that power is. And basically it says it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now I'm not talking miracles, but I am talking about the God of all creation caring for His creation and being a part of our lives. If He knows the very hairs on your head, what else does He know? Or what does He not know? And the answer is nothing. Let's go on and I'll read it here. These are in accordance with the working of His strength, the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. Are you listening? He gave Him, who's that? That's Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Church, we are something to Christ, aren't we? He gave Christ to be head over all things to this part that we're sitting here being a part of. Okay? And it says that this, us, added to the church, who are the church, the saints, are the fullness of Him. The church is important. The church is to be worked in, reverenced, used, lived in, shared in, loved in. This one, He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. This is a prayer. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Isn't that good? Amen. That's said to us. It's a prayer from Paul that says that he wants those in the church at Ephesus to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. What goes on in your inner man? Quite frankly, you are your inner man. Whatever your inner man is, that's you. That's the heart. How healthy is your inner man this morning? How strengthened with power by His Spirit is your inner man? How have you been doing in the last 6 months or 2 months or 3 weeks? How's it going with you? What do you think God wants for you? I think we're reading it here. He wants us to be strengthened by His power inside in the inner man. Let's continue. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, however you cut that, that's God's idea. Okay? He wants to dwell in our hearts through faith. And we've got to work on developing and growing that faith that comes by hearing and hearing by God's Word. So let's go on from there. That you, being rooted and grounded, aren't those great words? In the parable of the sower, one of the ones that gave it up didn't have any root in itself. Do you remember that? We need to be rooted and grounded, it says, in love. May I submit to you that that love is partially something that you manufacture within a good heart that comes from knowing God's Word. But part of that, grounded in love and rooted in love, is something that, 1 John, is shared amongst us. It grows because we use it. Love needs to be practiced and used and become a part of the fellowship. That's a big word in the New Testament. The joint participation koinonia idea. It's a part of that. And so we needed to be rooted, or we need to be, and this is the prayer, we needed by this strength of the Spirit in the inner man to be rooted and grounded in this thing called love, and that's an active, participative love. And I'll go back to the church idea that's the fullness of Him that fills Him. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Takes a little ability to comprehend, doesn't it? It takes some work. It takes some diligence. It takes some effort. It takes some work. It takes some time. And when we talk about loving the Lord thy God with all and all and all and all and all, it takes some all to get this comprehension ability. I'm convinced of that. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. You understand that? I'm not sure I comprehend. You see, there's four dimensions there. I've tried to picture this as a box. And, you know, I can go this way and this way and this way. And the best I can do is this way. You know? But somehow, it's all of it, isn't it? Every dimension that's possible. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. We're trying to grow in the love of Christ. That you may be, underline it, filled up to all the fullness of God. This is maturity. This is not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This is not coming and going. This is core. This is not peripheral. This is comprehension with all of us because we are together. Amen. In the growth process, in the maturation process that God desires for us as the fullness, His body. We need to be filled up, church. Here's another powerful one. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that. Can I stop right there? This is another prayer. This is another prayer. This is the desire of Paul for the church at Colossae. Is it not the desire of God for the church in rescue? It sure is. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's not going to happen as you put your pillow or your head on your pillow at night. It's not an osmosis thing. Now, God is trying to help us and will in that process. But to be filled with the knowledge means that we're going to go to work and grab hold of it and make it sit in the heart. Okay? God says, I'll write it upon their hearts. That's the new covenant. We've got to let Him help us do that. He's given us His living and active Word. He's given us His mind. It's up to you and I to get it into our mind and keep it there and cause it to grow and help others to grow. Am I missing that or did I get that pretty close to right? Verse 10. So that, now this wisdom and understanding that we're supposed to be absorbing and making grow, so that gets us a step down the road, you will walk. And so we go from the mind to the hands. We go from the heart to the practical loving idea. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. I like that. That's what we're here for, isn't it?
Amen.
Now we talked about walking. Here's another one. Bearing fruit in every good work. Now we're back to square one again, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hey, this is a circle. You know it. You practice it. You make it work within you. And when you do that experientially, you'll be increasing more and more in the knowledge. And this thing just winds its way in a loop right on into heaven, church. That's the way it works. That's God's process for us. Verse 11 then, we're strengthened with all power. That's kind of our discussion. According to His glorious might, we had one that talked about that in Ephesians just a minute ago, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Attaining is a good word. Joyously. Did you catch that? I might have been working along here, and you might be thinking, ooh, that sounds like an awful lot of work. I'm not sure I want to work that hard. Now we throw in the word joyously. Anytime we get involved in that which is good and right and fulfilling, right in the sight of God, He is going to bless our lives with joyous, rejoicing living. I'm convinced of that. Are you?
Amen.
Where I'm not feeling good about it is when I'm fiddling with the process. Where I feel good about it is when I'm involved in the process. Okay? As a child, I never felt real good when I was disobeying my mom and dad, and I knew it. But I did feel good when I was obeying. And that hasn't changed. It won't change. So joyously, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, think cross, death, burial, and resurrection. He's qualified us. We're in Him, aren't we? To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. May I say that's the church? And the inheritance belongs to those who are His. I hope you will go home and digest the passages that we're reading. There's some rich, rich stuff here. 2 Corinthians 9. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart. When you promise something, you better do it. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. Don't do it for the wrong reason. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I left that one in there. I could have left it out and gone right on here. I left it in there because this kind of sets some parameters for life. How we view life and how we approach life, either with blah or with gusto, makes a lot of difference, doesn't it?
Amen.
When we live life passively and just take things as they come, we probably have passive joy. We're always looking for the peace that passes understanding and cannot find it. We need to be far enough in to learn to rejoice in the process.
Amen.
And so if you reap, or if you sow sparingly, the process is just going to be mediocrity in life. But if you sow bountifully, whether we're talking about giving or whether we're talking about working for the Lord and being involved in all that we do, the reaping seems to be related to how much we invest, doesn't it? So put that one there and then set it aside. It says then, verse 8, and God is able. Nobody doubts here that God is able. Please don't. To make all grace abound to you, so that always, in all sufficiency, in everything, we're talking about God working in our lives, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That sounds like a promise to me. It sounds like God's intention for His people, that we would have enough to do right. As it is written, it goes back to Psalms 112:9, I think it is. He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that's God, isn't it?
Amen.
Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Are we sowing the seed in the kingdom, brother? And increase the harvest of your righteousness. Church, it's time for you and I to plant and water and let God give the increase.
Amen.
And we are not without resources to plant and water. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Go back to the sparingly and bountifully, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. In Hebrews 13, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. Wow! Is that a powerful set of words? The God of peace, here's what He did. The great shepherd Jesus brought Him up from the dead. It's a blood of the eternal covenant. We just partook of it. Even Jesus our Lord. All right, so what now? Equip. That's a prayer, isn't it? May the God of peace equip you in every good thing to do His will. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. We are equipped. God is with us. We need to do His will.
Amen.
Working in us, that's our lesson, that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Incidentally, the clock is not working today. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. That's pretty simple terminology, isn't it? This great God and Jesus is being asked to give us comfort and to strengthen our hearts in what we do in word and in deed. We know this, don't we? We're not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is of God. If you happen to be one who thinks you can't, thinks you're not worthy, thinks you just can't get it done, somebody else is more qualified. Think about this. Our adequacy comes from God. His adequacy is infinite. And so with His help, how does the text put it? I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Write it down. Write it down. Paul had some sort of an infirmity that really bothered him. This one says concerning that, he implored the Lord. Implored, that's a big word. 3 times that it might leave me. He wanted it out of the way. It was bothering him. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he modifies that just a little. For power is perfected in weakness. So if you think you're weak and you just can't, this is an opportunity, isn't it? When we're weak, we talked about Gideon last week, didn't we? And God started with 30,000, said that's too much, they're going to think they did it. And He got it down to something like 10,000. He said, still too much, they're still going to take credit for it. So He got it down to 300. And that showed His power. This is the same lesson. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So, well, let's go on. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What an opportunity all us weaklings have. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Folks, when we get to thinking we're strong, look out. When we think we're weak and humble, and well, we can begin to let God work in us and through us and use us. Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I think God is ready to do that in every one of us. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. We talked about that in an earlier verse. In real knowledge and all discernment, we're back to the heart being developed, so that you may approve things that are excellent in order to, now we move from the mind-heart area to the application, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How often have we used that? That's one of our famous texts. You work it out, and be careful there. I think a lot of times we've said, okay, Phil, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Get out there and get the job done. But it says here, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We need to let God work in us and through us. I'm convinced that He will do that if we allow it. As we close, will an active God work in an inactive soul? I'll let you answer that. What I read indicates probably not. It's a choice thing. Michael talked about it earlier at the communion table. We have choices to make. When we choose God, God chooses us. He's there so rapidly and so powerfully that He's involved in our lives. But when we kind of push Him off, you remember the parable of what we call the prodigal son? Didn't the father wait until the son took the action in His direction? He did, didn't he? He waited probably in hurt and pain and tears. But he waited until he saw the son coming home. That's God's nature. That's what that parable's all about, folks, is the nature of God. So, where are we this morning? Where are you this morning? Are you in Christ Jesus? Wow. That's the question of eternity. If you aren't, would you really, really, really think about it? Consider it? Find somebody who loves you that you love and talk to them about it. Choose one of us. This is vitally, critically, eternally important that every soul and surely everyone within our fingertips would acknowledge and obey the Lord. It's so simple. So simple. You just say, you come forward. And here's the simple process. You come forward, people are standing, singing. You and I'll talk just for a second. And you'd say, I believe in Jesus. I want to be baptized. When people sit down, I'll stand up and tell folks, That's what you've come forward for. You're going to see grins all over the audience. I may talk a little bit, you know me. But then I'll ask you to stand and I'll say, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And an answer of yes is adequate. I sure like to hear someone say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. There's a confession. That's important. That's the issue. That's the belief. From there, and repentance is built into this whole idea. We're making a change from sin to freedom from sin, to salvation. And repentance, the change is involved in that idea. From there, we would escort you to one of the rooms. Someone will help. There are nice gowns that are modest. And you would get one of those on, and I'll go to the other place and do the same thing. And we'll meet right up here together in the water. Cool. And at that point in time, I'll probably whisper in your ear and tell you a few little tricks I have learned that'll help you help me get you down below the water and back up again. We're not trying to drown anybody. I'll talk a little bit. And note that it's on your confession that I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's for the remission of your sins. Yeah. And the process will be completed. And you will arise eternally new forever. Are you going to be without sin? He doesn't impute sin. You're going to sin, but He's going to get rid of it. He's going to continually get rid of it as long as you're headed His direction. I believe that. You belong to Him now. If you're not in Christ Jesus, can we replay that with you so that you can leave here today saved? Thank you. A child of God. Adopted. We read earlier, He has qualified you. This is the qualifying. You may be in this audience this morning and maybe your life is weak and mediocre. Boy, what an opportunity sits in front of you with God on your side. Would you take that opportunity? We'll pray with you and for you. Please come as together we stand and sing.